Our Father, we ask and receive this morning to the afternoon to grant to us insight and wisdom. Thank you for clarity of thought in this service, precision and accuracy of comprehension. We behold Jesus Christ, your Son, as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, quickly, we started in the first service on encounters with the God kind. Encounters with the God kind. And just a follow-up on our series, The Wrath of God. In James chapter 1, verse 5, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now we examine the two words that were critically used by James. He used two words. One of them is the word liberally. It's the word aplos. It means to have a single-mindedness. Matthew's Gospel 6:22. Jesus said, let your eye be single. That's what he meant by who gives unto all men liberally. In other words, single-mindedness. In other words, he has no two characters. He has no two-sided parts. He doesn't have two sides to himself. So, if he gives, that's who he is. Hallelujah. He can't give and take. Because if he gives and takes, James wouldn't call him liberal. Who gives unto all men liberally. And then the second word he uses, upbraids not. And that word upbraids is the word onediso. You should know that word by now. It means to insult, to reproach, to find fault, or to disqualify. He doesn't disqualify anyone. And you know, we also in the first service, we examined Hebrews 8, okay, where scripture says that the Old Testament found fault, okay? Then he says, a new covenant will I make, and then it says in verse 12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Obviously. That shows us that God, we said that in the first service, God did not institute the Old Testament. Because it's faulty. You can't do something that is not perfect. Hallelujah. God didn't do Old Testament. God didn't do Old Testament. Old Testament was given because people refused to believe the gospel. We've done that study. So it doesn't look for fault. And in the first service, we began to look at Jesus and the way he related with people. He didn't look for fault. Did they have faults? Yes, they did. But he didn't just look at it. Didn't consider it. And so we said, he didn't start the Old Testament. Because he calls Jesus the author and finisher of all things. All things. No faith. And the law is not of faith. So Jesus is the author of faith. And then we looked at Hebrews 11 and we said, by the time they got to, they talk about Moses and then the sprinkling of blood. And then when they crossed the Red Sea, there was nothing mentioned again till the walls of Jericho came down. In other words, the 40 years the law was given was never called faith. It was 40 years of unbelief. Those 40 years were mentioned earlier on in chapter 3, chapter 4, and then also chapter 5 and 6. In fact, chapter 8, chapter 9, they all mentioned how the law was given, how the temple was built. But when the journey of faith was going to be taught, that part was not included. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying. That part wasn't included. God didn't give faith. God didn't give the law, sorry. Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. Because the law was to find fault. Paul summarized the law this way. He says the law was to make all men guilty before God. Romans 3:19. The law made all men guilty before God, yet God's blessedness is that a man has righteousness imputed without works. So that's not contradicting God. That's just not God. Romans 4 says, what did Abraham find? Abraham found righteousness without works. What did the law find? The law found sin. What did God find? God found faith. Praise God. You got the difference now. God found faith. The law found sin. God found faith. The law found sin. The people who had faith, did they have sin? Yes. But did God look for sin? No. What was God looking for? Faith. Faith in the promise. Are you still there? Does it make sense? Come on, does it make sense? So we're looking at the encounters with the God kind. So that you know, if it's not God, you should be able to know. We said in the morning, we said, if it's not Jesus, it's not God. It can be the law. It can be in the scriptures. Doesn't mean it's of God. How blows our minds. Everything in the Bible I must believe, everything in the Bible I must do, says who? Jesus himself said, you have heard in the Bible, love your neighbor, hate your enemies. Now I say to you. So he's telling you don't believe everything in there. Not true? Jesus told his own disciples who were trying to ask him to command down fire from heaven. He said, I know Elijah did it, but I'm rebuking. You can't do that. You can't do that. The Son of Man has not come to destroy. He has only come to save. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. The fact that it's in the Bible doesn't mean you got to believe it. If it's not Jesus, it can't be God. You believe that? You believe that? If it's not Jesus, it can't be God. Matthew 17:5. He says, he had Moses and Elijah, and I'm going to explain that for now to mean the law and the prophets. I have a better explanation than that, but let me leave it at that. And he says, behold, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Okay. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. Go to Romans 2:4. Romans 2:4. Hallelujah. Did we find the wrath of God? What did you find in your pocket? Verse 4. Come on, look at this. He says, oh, despise thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. I can imagine. He says the goodness of God. I have thought it's the wrath of God that should lead a man to repentance. He says it's not the goodness of God. Now listen carefully to this. The word not knowing is willful ignorance. It's the word agnoeo. A-G-N-E-O. A-G-N-O-E-O, sorry. Agnoeo. It's a willful ignorance. That is, he's talking to people who have heard of the goodness of God, who have seen the goodness of God, and then willful ignorance. They choose not to. Same word Paul used in Romans 1:13. I would not have you ignorant. Same word. Agnoheo. Romans 6:3. Romans 6:3, same thing. Know ye not willful ignorance. Romans 7:1, same word Paul. Romans 1:25. It says the goodness of God. Now I like the word goodness here. It's a very key word. It's the word Christos. Christos. It actually means to be pleasant. Whenever this word is used, it's for the benefit of the other person. You know, when I say, that guy's good looking, that's not for my... that's your, it's just, the good looking is on you, not me. Not true? Not true? That guy's good looking. Oh, that's a good car! Good car. It's not good till I'm inside it. Am I right? Am I right? So when you use the word Christos, it's not about the person. It's actually about what he does to you. So when he says the goodness of God, he's saying what God has done to you, which is pleasant. The translations have it as pleasant. Something that is pleasing. Have you tried to take a cold drink? Well, some of you don't like drinks, so I guess I'll find something else to say. Pleasant. All right, let me leave that joke. I want to say something violent. Not today. Look at Matthew 11, 30. My yoke is pleasant. My bond is light. My yoke is pleasant. The word yoke there, people think it's yoke. You know, yoke carries them on your head. Yoke actually means learning, to learn. My learning, the word yoke in the Greek means to learn. What you will learn of me is pleasant. That is, by the time you learn me, or you know me, it's a pleasant experience you're going to have. My yoke is pleasant, not my yoke. You know, when you like deliverance, the yoke shall be destroyed, the yoke. The yoke there means my learning, right? My learning. When you learn him, when you see him, that is, when you learn about Christ, it's pleasant. It's good. Christos. Luke 6:35. You know how to do good to others? Same thing. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communication corrupts pleasant manners. Pleasant manners. You know, people's manners are not about themselves. They are the things they do to others. Am I right? Right. Am I right? Same more questions. All right. Then you find Ephesians 4:32, being kind-hearted. Right. Same word, pleasant. Then 1 Peter 2:3. So you have, it says, the pleasantness of God. Have you seen pleasant people? Seen them? Pleasant? Just warm folks, and how are you? They greet well. Some folks are not pleasant. You don't know when they are angry and when they are happy. Because they will never change it. Say happy birthday. They say same to you. Have you heard that before? That's just like that. Yeah. Some guys are pleasant. Pleasant folks. You need help, they give you, you know, they're pleasant guys. So it says, the pleasantness of God will lead you to repentance. God is pleasant. Hallelujah. No, pleasant is he's cool. You're cool with him. You know, some guys are not cool to be with. You're with them and your heart is beating. Pick it up. You know, they're just not pleasant guys. Praise God. You know, some Christians, you can't have a conversation with them. Then you make a joke, they think you are abusing them. I don't like that. Please don't repeat that again. No. I don't, please. I know we're Christians, but then, please. Hallelujah. He said, it leads men to repentance. Now, of course, repentance for many people is that thing that happens when someone brings a big belt and wears green and then making noise all over your street. Repent! Jesus is coming on Friday. Repent! Back out! Look at your life! Repent! Back out! You guys repent. He needs to repent. Praise God. The word repent is the exact opposite. You know, he uses the word, pay attention, agnohio. Then he uses the word metanoi, metanoia. Now, the word noi is repeated because agno means I don't know. That is alpha, knowledge. Okay? Come on, are you there? Come on. He says, pay attention now. Not knowing, agnoio, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. There's a noio there again, that's knowledge in there. But he says meta means to turn around. In other words, he's saying change what you know. Same thing. The goodness of God by him being pleasant to you changes what you know. He can't be what you know about yourself. It has to be what you know about him. Repentance is not about your behavior. It's about your believing. Hallelujah. Still out there? It's not about your behavior. It's about your believing. Because it says, not knowing so that you will know. You get it? Not knowing, I know you, so that you will now turn around to know. So you did not know that his goodness should have turned around what you used to know. That's why, pay attention, when John the Baptist, pay attention to get what depends. John the Baptist in Matthew 3:8, when he said repent, repent about what? Was he asking them to change their ways? They couldn't have. He's saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. I have come that he might be revealed to Israel. So he says, you change what you think about God. So why did Jesus come? Jesus came to Israel, to the world, so that we might repent. In other words, Jesus came for us to repent. What do you mean repent? To change what we think and believe about who now? Come on, about who? About God. That's what John was saying. Matthew 3:8. Matthew 3:8, Matthew 3:11. Mark 1:4. Luke 3:3, Luke 3:8. Matthew 3:8, Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:4, Luke 3:3, and Luke 3:8. So we change our minds. Praise God. About God. The reason why he used repent is because before now, people had a wrong mindset about God. So repentance is primarily right believing. What did I call it? Right believing. Not a change of behavior. Now, does it lead to a change of behavior? Eventually it will. But you see, how it will, what changes my behavior is my view about God. I'll take that one more time. What changes man's behavior is my view about God. We're going to see something shortly. Now look at Luke 5:32. Hope I'm right. Luke 5:32. Someone say repentance. Say repentance. So when John was saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, was he talking about going to heaven? No, no, no. He was talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. See that? Luke 5:32. Okay. He says, they that are whole need not a physician, verse 1, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to what? Change their belief. Not change their ways. Praise God. Look at Luke 15. This should get you somewhere. Luke 15:7. I say unto you, Luke 15:7, are you there? Are you there? I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than 99 just persons who need no change of behavior. How can that be possible? You, we're growing spiritually, even if it's talking about changing. Well, would you say you don't need change of behavior to change how you behave to get better? No. But the man who is saved does not need what? Repent. Because he has believed. You get it? Do you understand? The sinner said they need no change of believing. But the man who is a just man, he's justified by faith, he doesn't need a change of belief. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Does it mean the man who is justified doesn't need to change his behavior? No, he's growing up. He's learning the word. But he's not repenting. Is it clear? Because he has already what? Believe. Does it make sense? Luke 24:47. He says that repentance and remission of sins. Look at that, come on. He says, repentance and remission of sins. How can you say, change your behavior and remission of sins? If I've changed my behavior, what is the remission of sins for? If I change my behavior, there's no sin to remit. But he says, repentance, which is, come on, say anger, which is remission of sins. In other words, when I'm preaching the gospel of repentance, I'm saying people should have a right believing, don't change your behavior, believe in the Savior. Hallelujah. You get that? Believe in the Savior. So Jesus came for repentance. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, many of us, you have to repent. You know, we've got, we're already saved, but we have some repenting somewhere in our mind, deep in our minds. Just you think in your mind, Pastor, don't scope me. I know the God I've known since I was in primary school. He can be what you're talking about. I know him a little bit. I remember when I stole meat in my mom's fort. What happened to me was I was on the swing and I was pushed up and I fell down. Immediately it flashed across my mind. Meat stolen. Meat stolen. Meat stolen. I know what you're talking about. I remember when I took someone's lunchbox, I can never forget. I had stomach trouble 1 week. I know it's God trying to tell me I shouldn't do it again. And didn't you do it again? Many of us lie as though after that we stopped doing the wrong things. You actually kept doing the wrong thing. Okay, let's give an altar call. Come on, pray for me. Pray, keep on. Let's go. You know, come and dedicate your life to Christ. Repentance means to actually change how you think about God. So when we preach and we want repentance, we're preaching the goodness of God, the good news. It's the good news that lets people see things differently. Still out there? Are you still out there? Why would there be repentance? If you observe, repentance was primarily preached to the Jews. Do you know why? Because they had the law. They had the law. It was primarily to the Jews because they had the law.
The Jews were so self-righteous. You see, how can you be a man? Call yourself a son of God. How can you be a man? Call yourself a son of God. How can you be a man? Call yourself a son of God.
There are things to change. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Okay, quickly. Acts 5:31. Same thing. Repentance. You learn something? Acts 5:31. Repentance. Him as God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to what? Israel, and forgiveness of sins. In other words, Israel will change how they think, and which is forgiveness of sins. Acts 11:18, same thing. Acts 11:18, talking about repentance to the Gentiles. Look at this. That God has granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Is it change of behavior to life? You know, they knew, for example, that the Gentiles had repented. Why did they know they had repented? Because they had believed. Did you see it? Because in the house of Cornelius, they believed and the Holy Ghost was poured out and they spoke in tongues. So they knew that was repentance because they knew that repentance is right believing. Do you get it? They didn't say, well, we found out that Cornelius used to be a very, very, very bad husband, not a good husband. That's not what we're saying. They're saying they now believe right. Does it make sense? Well, let me see how you get this. Does it make sense now? Thank you. So, Acts 19:4. Okay, good. Look at this. John, watch this now. John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. Now look at this. You should love this. Look at this one. John preached the baptism of repentance, saying what? No, come on. Saying that they should what? See? So, when John was saying repent, what was he talking about? See it now? Believe on him that you come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So that's a belief. So repentance is faith in Christ. Okay? Acts 20. Verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. Does it need to change your behavior? No. Repentance towards God, which is faith. Can you see it again? Can you see it again? No, and is not plus. It is so that, or which is. Do you understand? Do you understand that? The word and there is not a conjunction, it's an explanation. Repentance towards God, which is what? Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Because faith in God is faith in Christ. Okay, good. So, let's follow this. Acts 26, verse 28. You learning something? You learning something? Sorry, verse 20. Look at 20. But show first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God. Repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Now, before you get that wrong, just read the previous verses, verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive what? Forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by what? Which is in me. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Okay, one more. Look at 2 Timothy 2:25. Someone say right believing is repentance. Say again, right believing. Okay, so say right believing leads to right living. So if you want to live right, you believe right. Don't believe right first. The first thing you need to believe about not sinning is that God's not going to punish you. If you don't sin because you don't want God to punish you, that's wrong believing. It doesn't glorify God. You gotta have right believing. I'm not gonna do this. Not because God's gonna punish me if I do. I know He won't. Right believing. Right believing. Right believing. Right believing. Right believing leads to right living. Because if a fellow, look at the other guy who we said in first service. The other guy in Luke 18 who said, you know, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't do anything, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do women, I don't do anything, I go to church, I'm fasting twice a week, Mondays and Wednesdays, I'm in LMA, I pray, I'm in all the departments and all that, I'm not like this guy and all that. He says he's going out. No. Does it mean that who does that glorifies God? No. But he has wrong thinking. He thinks that's what counts before God. No. That's not what counts before God. What counts before God is faith in Christ. Still out there? Are you still out there? Okay, watch this. 2 Timothy 2:25. In meekness, instructing that those that oppose themselves, God peradventure, will give them repentance. Now, what is that repentance? Huh? Oh, come on now. What's that repentance? The word is epignosis. To the epignosis of the truth. He's talking about change of behavior. He's talking about change of knowledge. Hebrews 6:1, repentance from dead works. Hebrews 6:6, Hebrews 12:17. You know that. And then you find, one crucial area I want us to look at is 2 Corinthians 7. Hallelujah. Verse 9. Now I rejoice not that you are made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry for a godly manner, of a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. He says there's a sorrow of the world. He says it works nothing. He makes a distinction between a fellow crying. He's afraid of terror. So he's crying. He says it's different from godly sorrow. Hallelujah.
Some guys, oh, when I heard about burning hell, how many of you watch burning hell to be saved? Okay, don't put your hands up. Put your hands up. You're saved. I'm not trying to doubt your salvation, but you heard about burning hell or distant thunder. There's one that people left. And then there was one policeman. Left behind. Those are recent ones. Eh? Mark of the beast. Aha, the Christian. Mark of the beast. You watch those movies? You know, we were trying to do a crusade years back, and we found out that our evangelism was not hitting the target. The brother said, let us show the film. So we showed the film. After that film, some of us who organized the film came up for water cup. When it gets to that point, the Bible says even Moses was trembling and quaking. Ah, angel, what did I say? What are you doing? He himself was quick. We did another one. When that one did not get enough converts, we now did one on music. We knew everybody liked music. So we did backsmacking. You know backsmacking? Where you play a song the other way around. Then it begins to sound like devil, Satan, I mean your soul. That day, the converts, they began to ring. You know, those are two signs of judgment. The song and then the ring. See converts. So many converts. What we now found out was, we played Michael Jackson, Belle Biv DeVoe, you know them? You know Belle Biv DeVoe? We prayed them. Who's this guy saying? Chris Cross gonna make it. Is it Chris Cross? Huh? So we played those songs, and then when you backtrack them, they were singing devil. Then we now played Christian songs, and they were also singing devil. So we said, let's check this first. We don't understand, you know, that let's, no, that can't be what they are saying. They are saying devil too. We're so silly. Of course, when you play something backwards, it will sound backwards. They said it will show the spiritual meaning of the song. Just to get people to be afraid. When you hear those things, I say, if you sang any song by Michael Jackson, or you sang any song by Belle Biv DeVoe, he said, if you have those songs, do you know that if those songs are in your, if you sang those songs during the week, say Satan is in your soul. Quick. I said, when it gets to the point that people are not coming out, you say, even if you whistled it, if it went through your mind, then that's all. Everybody just come out. For restoration. Hallelujah. But glory be to God. We have repented to life. We have believed to salvation. Glory to His name. Some of you are so happy. Now I can dance Davido. That's not what I'm preaching. Hallelujah. But I like Davido. 2 Peter 3:9. The way he's sitting there in church, we just keep quiet. I like Davido. Say, hey. Thank you, Pastor. I always like Saints Community Church. It's the church that ministers to me. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should change their behavior. No. All should come to repentance. Can we say all should believe the gospel? Is it the same thing? So repentance is change of direction by faith. You change your direction by faith. James wants us to change our direction. The goodness of God leads a man to change the way he sees things. Hallelujah. Do you know something? I was saying this, you know, in a meeting, and I said, most of these congregations, I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but most of them that I know, I don't know much, that, you know, they're always about killing enemies. And some of you even have it at the back of your mind. There's this song we just sang now. You have delivered me from my enemies. You sing that in this church, and you're not afraid. From my enemy. It's from the enemy. Praise God. Most of those that kill enemies and stuff like that, I say, watch them. By their
by their disposition, they are not kind. They are always very brutal. If you offend them, have you heard lecturers and they say, "Ah, is that lecturer? He's a Christian, no? What I'm saying is that he's wicked. He can never bend." I had to talk to someone one time. He's a friend, but he had the recourse to be. We were in the university together, but he was lecturing somewhere. So he was, you know. I said, "Look here, do you know that God is not as principled as you?" Ah, he said, "What I think?" He said, "God is not as principled as you. Say you are too principled. Your 4 o'clock is 4 o'clock. If you don't come at 4 o'clock, we are doomed. Cool down." He said, "But I'm just going to be." You're not being a Christian that way. Hallelujah. Jesus told his own 12, "I'll rise again the third day." He told them for 3 years. The days will come. They ran away. A woman came and said, "I saw him." They said, "No, it's not possible." I mean, he didn't come. He didn't come. I said, "That's all." And that's all. I tried my best 3 years, 3.5 years. You know what he did? He came to them and he said, "Touch me." They all touched him. As they finished touching, they were still looking. He knew what was in their mind, that we can touch and it's not the one. He said, "You know what? Bring food." He ate. He said, "Let's sit together." Yeah. He didn't stop there. The second time they saw him on the water, he said, "Bring food again." He did it twice. So that's why Peter said, "We ate and drank with him many days." See how long? You, the minute we miss one appointment with you, that we are doomed. Say you are a Christian. You are not a Christian. At least not in your behavior. Christians are merciful. Hallelujah. Christians are what? Merciful. Someone say, "Pastor, thank you. LME. LME, Pastor." Oh my God. You know, it is the Englishman that did pencil that did the razor. Whatever that means. But you know, no jokes about God's merciful. Do you know nobody knows how to pray right? Forget all the teaching. Forget all the teaching. Forget teaching. Nobody knows how to pray right. Do you know how to pray right? Is there any scripture for it? Stand like this. Stay like this. No, this is Father, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. You know, we just pray. Sometimes you're just desperate. He doesn't say, "I can't see faith. I can't see." No, it's not like that. So I told my friend, I said, "You are too rigid." Some guy said, "After 10, I don't pick phone calls." That's my principle. 10 o'clock, I swish off, my phone. You know, that's not a Christian. We are pleasant. Our Father is pleasant. Hallelujah. Are you still out there? Where are we? James. Did I say James? Was it James? Okay, James 1. Okay. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. James 1. Now look at this. He doesn't, look at what he says. He says, "He gives unto all liberally and others upbraid not. It shall be given him. Let the man ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of a sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord." Now, he's not saying that God will not give. Don't get it wrong. Where is the problem? Why? The man is double-minded about God. Whereas the fellow who is not even a Christian, he's going to ask God. He's gonna get it. Praise God. He's going to get it. He's going to ask God. He's going to get it. I like this song by Two-Face. You know, if you like, leave the service. I just like that song. There's something I like that song. I just like, say, Edumare, bless me, oh. I mean, he just said it with such ease. This is a guy you don't even like how he dresses. But the Christian will say, four ways to be blessed. A guy just says, Edumare, bless me, yeah. Bless me, oh. The Christian will say, I don't know whether it's the will of God. No, he's the tire of God. Sit down there. Hallelujah. You get it? Christians are even afraid of what their father does. The unbeliever, he might still end up in hell, but he will take it. Hallelujah. Say, so watch it. The money you are is in your pocket. Is it sanctified? No. He's spiritual. Hallelujah. He says, let not man think he will receive anything of the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you seen unbelievers, Muslims, believe for miracles? And they go, it will happen. And the Christian will say, I have not paid my tithe. Something's wrong with you. The unbeliever says, God can't do it. He doesn't believe that Jesus died for his sins. He will never believe for a long time. He wants him to believe, but he doesn't. But he knows that God's going to take care of him. Why are you quiet? I told you, answered prayer is not a right of a Christian. It's not a prayer. You think it's a exclusive right of a Christian? I was telling you for ourselves, how somewhere preaching during the week, you know, maybe the way I preached that day, because we drove like 3 hours to get there and 3 hours back. So I got in there and I was preaching and I told them, saying, God answers the prayers of a Muslim. And their eyes just changed. Like, so what's this Christianity all about? That's what God thinks. No. You mean, I asked one of the questions, I said, how do we pray? Send me the scripture. How to pray. He said, he doesn't understand. I said, if you want to pray the right way, tell me how I should go about it. He didn't have any answer because there's none. Just pray. You are quiet. You are still going there. Just watch this. He says, he'll let not that man think. That means the unsaved man takes the miracle. The Christian is still doubting. Shagun, this may be a test. A test. You got good money. You say it's a test. Take the test. Please take the test. Be tested. Hallelujah. And when you are tested, we will enjoy you. You will give in church. In the test. See, it's a test. Praise God. Paul says, if you go to a place, I'm going there shortly. And they say, this food belongs to an idol. He says, there's no idol in the world. So everything belongs to God. You take it. Say, but if there's one brother like that who doesn't attend sense from the church. But he says, bro. You know, some guys like that, you say, why did I meet this kind of person? Say, brother thing. He said, oh God, weak conscience, brother. What did you come here to do? Say, but let me see you off. So, I'll get to that later. So he says, let not that man think he received anything from the Lord. Now watch this. For a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Someone say, double-minded. That word double-minded is the word dipsuchos, I showed you last week. D-I-P-S-U-C-H-O-S. It has two words. Dipsuchos. D-I-P-S-U-C-H-O-S. It has two words. Dia means two. Suche means person. That means you have a double personality. Now pay attention. The first thing is that this man sees God as a double personality. He can do good. He can do evil. He can give. He can take just like Job. He can do this. He can do the opposite. He says that that man, because of the way he is, tossed to and fro, he will also be a double-minded person. That is, the way you see God reflects on how you live. Gotta repent. The way you see God will reflect on how you live. For example, when I told my friend, and I told him, you see, what you do is not like God. How would you be so rigid? And he said, but our God, I said, God is not like that. He's so rigid. A double-minded man. So number one, write this down. Is God unstable in all his ways? Answer like a Christian. Is God unstable in all his ways? That means God doesn't have two personalities. But if you see him like that, you're going to be acting like that. Look, there's some pastors that are so good on the pulpit, but in their homes, they're going to say, ah, you don't know my father. Say, but your father, the pastor, huh? Where we get to? That's godly parenting. Godly parenting means that your children cannot talk. You are the only one talking. Say, daddy, I said good day, young man. Sorry, sir. You slap someone in the face and say, sorry, sir. You know, that is a serious case. There's some pastors like that. And so your children look at you and say, you preach that God is good? What about you? Some guys are like that too. They're just good in church. When they get home, they're sold out. You can't talk with them. You can't sit down with them. You think they're being spiritual? Speaking in tongues all the time. How can a human being be speaking in tongues all the time? Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. When are you ever going to be kind to others? You want? I just want to, I want to keep myself from the contamination of the spirit. How are you today? You need a doctor. Something is vitally wrong with you. If you interpret that tongue will say stop. I say stop. Hallelujah. God is not double-minded. Praise God. And I am not double-minded. You know, I'm a good man. Is it because people tell you that you're good? Say, hey. Say, I'm a good person. Many of you didn't say it. I'm waiting. You are even laughing at your words.
I'm a good person.
Okay, well, I'm a good person. Come on, say, I'm a good person. I'm not double-minded.
I'm double-minded.
I have just one way.
I am good.
I am of the God kind.
I'm good.
James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift from above, down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Look at 18. And of his own will. Woo! Glory! Of his own will. Begat he us with the word of truth. We are just like him. That we should be a kind of the first fruits of his creature. Praise God. I'm a good husband. I'm a good wife. I'm a good citizen. I'm a good person. I'm a good Christian. I'm a good person. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What about telling your husband you're a good husband? You say, That's how men are generally. Are you okay? Women. How many have you seen? Outside your mother, your sisters, and people around you. Praise God. I'm a good person. Of his own will be God here. Without shadow of turning. I'm not double-minded. I'm stable in my ways. He said, the wrath of man does not walk the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Is that clear to you? So God is the same. If it's not Jesus, don't think like you. If it's not Jesus, say, if it's not Jesus, if it's not Jesus, if it's not Jesus, If it's not Jesus, it's not God. Glory to God. John's Gospel chapter 1 tells us quickly. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why did John say that? So that we will know who Jesus was. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and darkness couldn't comprehend it. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld us on the God of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16 says, of the fullness that we all receive, of all we receive, grace for grace. The law came by Moses. He said, but grace and truth came by Jesus. The law was given by Moses, pardon me. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man had seen God at any time. But the Son of God, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has what? Declared it. Hallelujah. You believe that? Do you believe that? So we saw Jesus. We looked at Him in the first service. He sees Peter. Peter, he's not a good guy. He blesses him. He has more fish. Praise God. Praise God. He blesses Peter. He got more fish. Peter says, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Keep quiet. Did he not give you something before you knew that? What he said? We saw Luke 7, a woman that was a prostitute. In Nigeria, they say, oh, Beshe. Beshe, Beshe. There's another word I don't want to say. I've been trying not to say it since the first service. Some of you know the word. This is someone everyone knows. And the Pharisees knew her. You wonder, how did they know? I don't know how they knew. Maybe I give some spirit. I didn't have it, but they knew. Jesus had this woman right there. This woman had done all sort of stuff. She's kissing his feet, don't forget feet. She's crying as she didn't burn. She touched Jesus. Holiness, it's called holiness. She's out there. And Jesus said, such people, they love more. But you see, those who don't understand God's gift of forgiveness, they don't love others. They are hard. They're just hard guys. Hard guys. A Christian say, karma. Karma. No, it's Kamaru. Say, karma. Christian. Hallelujah. He went to Zacchaeus' house. Spoke about the Pharisee. Look at John 8. There's a woman that they brought to him. John 8. One thing about this story that I appreciate is, by my study, obviously, this particular story had to be included. And I try to find out why. Because in the original, this story wasn't there. I checked the syntax and the language. It wasn't John who wrote it. And I can tell you that, but some other time. There's this woman, verse 3, it's totally out of sync. Totally. And this woman, but I know that those who put the Bible together had to include this. Because a beautiful reason for scripture is to change our mindset about God. So this story had to be. Now this story is true, alright? Real, it's true, authenticated. But I'm saying they had to include it. And somehow I now question, why was it John's letter that they put it? Why not the other ones, you know? But a fellow told me, he said, well, it's only John's gospel that can flow with what Jesus did here. Well, I don't know whether that's true, but it looks like it. Because John was the guy who kept calling himself beloved. The one that Jesus loved the most. How can a human being be like that? Hallelujah. I hear you. He just called himself that. Look at this. This woman was taken in adultery in the very act, verse 4. That means they saw her do it. Well, somehow they didn't get the man. Alright? Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, and what says that? The funny thing about the law of Moses is that everybody knew it was Moses, but Nigerian Christians. They kept saying it was Moses, but somehow we find it, The Jews who had the law knew who gave the law. But somehow in our minds, we say, Moses is God incarnate. Something like that. He says, come on, tempting him that thou him accused him. Jesus stood down. In verse 7, he says, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. That's a big challenge. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they condemned their conscience, went out one by one. These guys are good guys as far as I'm concerned. I think they are honest. Some guys will have stayed. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And then Jesus had lifted himself. So what's Jesus saying here? Jesus once again is annulling the law. No one has the right to stone another. That's what he's saying. So he puts to bed Moses' law again. No one has a right. He says, woman, where are your what? Huh? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you an accuser? No, some guys are just good at it. They just like to accuse. You know, and most accusers are hypocrites. Don't you? Are you an accuser? Say, have no man condemned you? So Jesus actually can comfortably, with due respect, do some comedy here. He's making fun of them. He's not talking seriously. You think he's serious? He's not serious. He knew no one was going to stand. He knew nobody was standing. He said, where are your accusers? That's a joke. Stop looking too serious. You think, woman, where are your accusers? He knew they had all gone. So he said, where are your accusers? That in his own is a mockery. Where are they? There where it goes. You know, because if anybody says I'm without sin, his brother will say, ah, bro. That's good. We'll talk about that. He said, where are your accusers? No one's there. The woman said, no man, Lord. And he said unto her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Someone say repentance. That's repentance. What's the first statement? Neither do I. See that? Change of mind. Neither do I. Go and sin. So the reason why you are not sinning is so that I won't condemn you. That can't be the reason. Because if you sin, I won't condemn you. So that's a change of mind. That's repentance. Are we together here? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. They say, neither do I condemn you. Go and take care of yourself. Don't do it too much. He didn't say that. He says, go and sin no more. Praise God. One time we'll look at that later. Now, follow this. So, in John 4, he meets a woman. In John 4:14, he says, look, John 4:10 says, if you knew the gift of God, you'll have asked of him and he would have given you living water. He's talking to a woman who is living with a man she's married to. And I did some study on that statement when he says the woman you have married. Well, one funny guy, he's supposed to design a wedding cake. So instead of 1 John 4:8, he puts John 4:8. Praise God. And so, that's written on, 4:18, pardon me. Instead of 1 John 4:18, he forgets the first. And he puts John 4:18 on the wedding cake. You don't pay such people, do you? You didn't get the joke yet? He forgot the first. Praise God. Hallelujah. Follow this now. He says, the man you're with, he's not your husband. And let's study what that means. That means the man already has his own wife somewhere. You know, the woman hears Jesus say that. Worldly sorrow. I was thinking about it even before he said it. I've been praying about this matter. For the past 6 years, I didn't want to do it. Master. That one is a repentant heart. As I know, he's the man. I prayed about it. I went to one camp, they didn't even ask me about it. Master, I know.
You wouldn't even allow Jesus to land.
Master, what do you want to do about me now?
He said that. And the woman said, wow. Some say a man that told me. I mean, how does saying that he's talking about worship? You people say we should worship. After hearing that, you people say we should worship in this mountain. Because before she said that, pardon me, she was talking about worship. Now when she said that, she said, oh, people, come and see a man that told me all I ever did. So all she ever did was marry. And she's going around. I've seen the Christ. Praise God. How many of you will hear a sermon like that? The next thing you want to go and preach, you just go home solemn. Just as I am. How was today's service? Come and see how the man who broke the world. It was a great service. Who's going home? She leaves the service to preach. Why? That's what the goodness of God does. You want to tell the world about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A friend of mine said it like this. He said, the gospel means God is good to you. It becomes news to others. Hallelujah. Kind of like that. So in Luke 6, one more time. Come on, see it. You learning something? Luke 6. Encounters with the God kind. Luke 6. Verse 35. And you love your enemies. You love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. You shall be the children of the highest. He's kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. I told you in the first service, the word children there means who heals. One who reflects the Father. That is, when we're kind, we're reflecting God. When we bless, we reflect God. When we pray for those who despitefully use us, we reflect God. When we bless those who are unthankful, that means the last one you did, they are still not thanked you. He said, you're just like God. That means God blesses people who will never acknowledge Him. How about that? And He says, when you do that, you're just like your Father. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says, if you go somewhere, and then someone is worshipping an idol. In chapter 8, he says, an idol is nothing. But someone brings food and says, this is for an idol. He doesn't recognize God. And Paul says, that food belongs to you. Huh? God blesses him enough for him to be an idol worshiper. God gives him what he uses to worship his idol. Don't get scared. Praise God. Don't say, anything God will give a man, it must be for His glory. Don't lie. What kind of lie is that? He says, the food they said belongs to idols, belongs to who? God. The earth is the Lord. The fullness thereof. I thought that the minute they put it in the altar for the idol to just come fire, power, who is this? What will take my blessing for an idol? And then he says this. He lets them be. Hallelujah. I said these are encounters with the God kind. Praise God. Someone tell him, he said, are you saying that God is like this? But what about this? What about those songs that we sing in Yoruba that say, our God, who is mighty, who is powerful? I said, what is His power? He looked at me. The Bible says when He was going to destroy him that had the power of death, He did it by death. How about that? Let that sink in. His power was in His death. I thought His power was that as He appears in the heavens. Not like Bolton. With Him. He is as powerful as a lamb.
What most of us need to do is to stop thinking evil is power. You gotta repent. Evil isn't power, it is goodness that is power. Praise God. Time of the God kind. Time of the God kind. Matthew 7. Saw that earlier on. You learning something? Matthew 7. Matthew 7. You know, people are used to church services. I was talking to the pastor. I said, some churches just do so much praise worship. Have you observed it? A 2-hour service, 1 hour praise worship. The guy says, what does the pastor want to say? He says, when you have something to say, that you reduce praise worship. When there's not much to say, you increase the tempo of singing. So when people are singing, they worship not what they know. Because in the same breath, they can say something else about him. So teach people the word of God. Don't turn church into a music center. Singing, 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 singing. If we're doing singing now, nobody will sleep. All alas. These guys will never rest. Come on, are you still there? 1 hour. That's why you are a double-minded man. Unstable even in your singing. Where were we? Matthew 7. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. Right? Is he talking to believers? Is he talking to believers? It's believers. Anyone who asks. Praise God. The unsaved man can ask. So if I get iniquity in my heart, Lord, Lord, you have gone back again. Which iniquity is not in your heart? The Lord cannot hear this, the prayer of a sinner. So whose prayers was Jesus answering in the four Gospels? 24 elders. Don't be sad that your father is good. Be glad. Why should you be sad that your father is good? I think I'm going to change my father. This father is just good all through. Can't he have limitations? There should be self-control. Father, they should. I understand you're trying to be good, but see, you have to limit. You have to know human beings very well. You know, he's always good. Hallelujah. It's not just good to you. It's good. You know, people are good to their family, they're not good to other people. God is good. Good. He's not just good to his family. He's good. Hallelujah. You do hear me? It's not just good to his family. You know, you can be good to your family. I will put you outside. Say, just see your housemate. Yes? 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 What are you doing here? God is good to... He's not good to his children. He's good to... Some of you kept quiet. He's good to... Say it loud. Oh. Hallelujah. Matthew 7, 7. If that man, what that man is there, verse 9, of whom is, if his son hacks bread, shall he give him stone? If he hacks fish, shall he give him a serpent? If then you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly, your father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Hallelujah. To them. Is he talking to Christians? Give good things. If he is good to us and not good to them, then he is double-minded. But glory to God, he is liberal. I said he is liberal. I said he is liberal. He is liberal. Haplos. Just one eye. He has just one attitude. He has just one style. Romans 12, 19. Are you in church? Why are we teaching this? It's not just to talk about God. It's to let you know you
You reflect Him. I am of the God kind. I am of the God kind. Hallelujah. Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, let's take it together, come on. Dearly beloved. Oh, everybody, come on, let's go. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. Let's take verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, poison him. What is it? If he's thirsty, zobo. Say, give him a drink. In doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil. Overcome evil with what? Good. Say, I am not double-minded. I have just one personality, just like my Father. Ephesians 4:31. Knowing that God is good, but knowing that you are also good is important. Say, I am good. So I'm a good person in my office, in my street, in my family, in the church, in my school. I am a good person. I'm pleasant. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean I'm not firm. Doesn't mean I'm not strict. Doesn't mean I'm not disciplined. All right. But I'm good. I'm pleasant. I'm a pleasant person. Praise God. Say, I'm a pleasant person. Say it like you. Say, I'm a pleasant person. You can't hear this and think you're sanguine. How can you be sanguine? Are you okay? Some chlorine or sandine or mechanic or melancholy? You're neither. You are good without shadow of turning. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're all the same. You know we're all the same. We came from the same Father. Praise God. We came from the same Father. And we are all the same. We don't beat our wives. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We don't beat our wives. Shundai. We don't abuse our husbands. Come here. His movie you are watching, not God's word. So what is it? Women rights. Yes, we have a right. Women have a right. You are deceiving yourself. You know, paralogizomai. You are acting a drama. That's not you. This is the day you behave like that is to talk to your husband anyhow. What? You went to school, I went to school. If I pass better than you. You can't have any out. You are in my head, but I'm your neck. Revelation 46, 47. You know what's happening? You are a new creature acting as the devil. You know the same way somebody who begins to act like the president of Nigeria? You know, that's not really who you are. Just a drama. So what you have just done now is a drama. That's not who you are. You are a good person. You are submissive. You are responsible. You don't keep grudges. Praise God. You know you don't keep grudges. Amen. You believe the best about people. You're kind. When people hurt you, you don't hurt them back. You actually do good to them. Because you're like your Father. You don't have a diary. October 14, 1914. It was 2:14. On the 14th street. This is what he said. How can I ever forget? It is written. I'm what the world says I am. I am a good person. Woo! I am of the God kind. He's always good. He's always good. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4, you learning something? Ephesians 4. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Verse 31. Let all bitterness. You know, somebody was telling me about a member of this church did something. I said, he can't do it. So why did you say that? We don't teach that in our church. Hallelujah. I teach him who he is in Christ. He knows it. Praise God. Yes, are you sure? I said, he can't do it. I know what I teach every Sunday and every Wednesday. I show him who he is.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Am I right? Am I right, guys? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4, 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and common evils begin to be put away from you with all malice. Let's take verse 42 together. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven. Chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore imitators of God. The word followers there, you know, followers like you follow someone. It's the word mimetos in the Greek. It means to imitate. It was used in ancient Greek for those who come and act another person as though he was there. So we actually act God. We are the God kind. Hallelujah. As dear children, how do we imitate God? Walk in love. Hallelujah. We walk in love. You know why we walk in it? Because it's in us. We walk in love. See, I walk in love. Oh, say, I walk in love. So I say, well, I went out of my way. No, you didn't go out of your way. That was your way. That is your way. I said, that is our way. So I say, love is the way to victory. Brother Higgins says that. I agree with him. But I say, well, love is actually the victory. Glory to God. Love is the victory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's our way. It's our way. It's our way. We have to do something extra not to walk in love. To walk in love, we do nothing. It's just who we are. We're just like our Father. You don't make God good. You don't play Him into goodness. You only find out that He's good. I'm just like my Father. Oh, come on, say like me. I'm just like my Father. Colossians 3. We are one mind. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory, glory. Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do you. Praise God. He says as Christ. Why would he say as Christ? Because as he is, so are we. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no vengeance in us. We don't revenge. You know, someone came in my office years back. I was pastoring for someone in 1998. And then she told me about her father. And she was telling me about how her father molested her when she was young. Very bad, bitter story. And I really took heart, that to heart. And she said so many things about it. Very bitter experience. And then she got to that point, then she cried more. I said, this is a long time ago. Why are you still crying? She said, you can't believe it, sir. He is saved. That means, from what you have been teaching us, he will not go to hell. That means, from what you have been teaching us, God will not punish you. She's crying. I said, it's true. Very, very true. Hallelujah. But I kind of wonder, why did she cry? I still wonder. So here's Jesus. He's the God kind. Just like Jesus walked on the streets of men and he was the light of the world. You and I, we are the light of the world. Say, I'm the light of the world. Quick, let's see something. Isaiah 29. You learning something? Isaiah 29. Now, this is not for Sunday. It's for Monday. Praise God. You hear me? It's for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and definitely also Sunday. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 29. You learning something? Isaiah 20. See Isaiah. Isaiah 29. Isaiah. See Isaiah. Verse 2 to 4. Get out of this church, Ariel. Am I right? Yeah. 2 to 4. Ariel. He says, there shall be heaviness and sorrow. He shall be unto me as Ariel. He says, and I will camp against the roundabout, and will lay siege against thee with a man, and I'll raise forts against thee, and thou shalt be brought down, and thou shalt speak of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as one of on the heart, family spirit, out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Now, he's speaking about something that happened to Israel. Let me listen to this very well. See, in the Old Testament, when they prophesied vengeance and spoke about evil happening to a city, because of the darkness of their vision,
You see, they will think, they will say it was God. But actually men who did those things. Whatever happened to Jerusalem happened through the Roman government. Not God. But when it was prophesied, it was as though it was God. When Jesus came on the scene, he said, you know guys, flee. That's what he said. So when that day comes, so you guys gonna run. That's not from God. It's from the wickedness of man. But then you read it in the Old Testament as though God did it. He didn't. Watch this. The same Isaiah 61. Listen to this very well. Glory to his name. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Follow this. He has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Yeah? And he says, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. That's strange. That's quite strange. Vengeance, comfort. To appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beautiful ashes, vengeance. Oil of joy for mourning, vengeance. Garments of praise for the spirit of edginess, vengeance. Trees of righteousness, plant of the Lord, that they might be glorified. Look at verse 4. They shall build the whole ways. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. How does that look like vengeance? Build, restore, renew. Hallelujah. The first one we read was carried out by man. This will be carried out by God. He can only refresh, renew, restore, rebuild. Hallelujah. He's still doing it. Hallelujah. I said he's still doing it. Hallelujah. That's why when Jesus was going to quote that verse, he never added vengeance. Are you there? Hebrews chapter 12 verse 22 says, you are come unto Mount Zion, city of the living God. You come to God, the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Someone said, but Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Said they killed their prophets. He wept, he cried over Jerusalem. Did he stop there? No. He told his disciples, Luke 24:47. He says, repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in all nations. Beginning at where? You shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem. Did he ever forsake Jerusalem? Did they reject him?
Yes.
Did he forsake them? Did he punish them? No, he sent them to preach the gospel to them. Are you learning something? In Luke 23, right on the cross. On the cross. Look at some scenes on the cross. Where else do you want to find a man's kindness but in his worst moments? It's on the cross. See, the nails were not, pinned. They were nails. They drove it in. Some historians say to us, the nails were sometimes many inches and this thick. They tell us the kind of whip they put on his body. That they will put nails all across the whip and then they go around like this. Then they put it. One. And they give him about 39. They beat him so badly, doctors said he had a heart failure. Not because of anything, but the stress. He was made to carry a big tree and there on the cross. Where else would you avenge your frustration? Got to a point. He spoke out like David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Even though he knows God doesn't forsake. And God never did. Because David later said, you will not abandon my soul in heaven. Where else do you want to see a man where he's at his worst moments? And if he wasn't feeling bad, then he was not a man. If he wasn't feeling the pains, then he was not a man. But brothers and sisters, he was a man. He was. Look at the pain.
Sometimes you and I say it's the pressure. It's what they said. I'm sorry, but that's just the pressure. Look at what he says. Luke 23, verse 34. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the hardest of moments, he had done nothing, nothing. He had done nothing. He didn't just demonstrate the death, his forgiveness by his death. He demonstrated it while he was dying. He didn't just show his character by dying for our sins. He showed his character while he was dying. You know, it wouldn't be wrong for him to say, what nonsense is happening here? What do you guys think you are? You think you can get away with this? You know, at those moments, we boil over. He was a man. He could have. But he has just one character. I said he has just one character. Right in the midst of it, he goes, forgive them. And a man, later on, Stephen by name. Stephen didn't know the Pauline revelation. He didn't know so much about who you are in Christ. But he had seen the Savior. Heard about him. Stephen says, lay not this sin to their charge. If there's any place you should have prayed for vengeance, that was it. But that's not who we are. To us, that is strength. That is power. That is the glory of God. It was so magnificent that even the soldiers screamed and looked at him and said, this is the Son of God. Something that was so divine about his death. He didn't cry like everyone who was vengeful. He didn't, you know, he didn't go about it with bitterness. If he was bitter, he would have been able to explain it. It's understandable. If he was angry, it's easy to explain away. He's human. How can you do that to a human being? He did nothing wrong. You let Barabbas. Barabbas was a guy who had robbed many buses going to the east several times. Barabbas is a guy who has killed people. He's a kidnapper. He collected 500 million as ransom. But then they let Barabbas go for Saul who did nothing. How bitter could you have been? But our kind is above evil. Hallelujah. We are never overcome with it. In the midst of the persecution, in the midst of the things said against us, we will not say anything wrong about others. Do I have a witness in the house? Can I have someone else? That's just who we are. And that is our Christ. Our firstborn. The one we are like. The soldiers, they put down their wear. And they bowed and said, this is the Son of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:22 and 23, they couldn't find anything in his mouth. Just one word out of a, what do you call it? Out of an unguarded moment. Just say something like, what is all this? No. You will see. You will say God will do it. You say the devil will do it. At least you say it's not God. He just said no. In the worst moments, we are the God kind. Evil does not beat us to this. Praise God. Are you learning something? This is the worst moment. He knew he was going to die. Stephen knew he was going to die. And here is Stephen, Acts 7. He says, lay not this sin. Acts 7, verse 60, to their charge. Same way, same spirit. Acts 7, 60. That is who he is. How are you under pressure? How are you when there's so much coming against you at the same time? You know, you are not a double-minded man. You are the same. I tell people this and I like to say it like this. The reason why we walk in love is not a decoration. It's actually a lifestyle. It means things are going to happen. The love nature is not a decoration. It's not for teaching and preaching and quoting. Things are going to happen in your office, in your school, in your family, between you and your husband, you and your children. But you know what? You're stronger than things. We are the kind of the first fruits of the scripture. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. We are born of his word. Hallelujah. Are you there? He tells the unbeliever, Hebrews 4:16, come boldly. Can you imagine? How can you tell the unsaved to come boldly? In Hebrews 3:1, he says they should consider Jesus. He's talking to the unsaved. In Hebrews 4:11, he said they should labor to enter his rest. He's talking to the unsaved. In Hebrews 10:22, 23, he says she should come with full assurance of faith. Imagine, what does he tell the unsaved? Come. Come. Don't say come. I like the word Greek. In the Greek, come, it means approach. It's not saying move. Like, you know, when I say come, I mean move like this. Come simply means approach me. Look at me. Hear me. Come. He makes the sinner look so worthy, you feel like, is this serious? God makes the sinner look so worthy that the 2 Corinthians 5:19, when it says God was in the world, and reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses. That word had to do, cartilage, is a word that has to do with value. That means he places value on the world. So much, he can't say anything wrong. That's why when someone doesn't believe the gospel, it's a ridiculous, ridiculous action. Why would you not believe? Closer. Why wouldn't you believe? What is there not to believe? That God is good. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. It says, whosoever believes. Someone say, whosoever. How many of us talk like that? And we say, whosoever. 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 That's the God kind. Someone say, I'm of the God kind. Jesus said, no man, John 6:44, comes except the Father draws him. The word draw means to persuade, to bring close to yourself by persuasion. The Father persuades. He doesn't force. He doesn't push people. He persuades. Jesus is so persuasive. He appears to people the first time, they're doubting. The second time, then he does it for 40 days. 40 days. In Noah, 120 years with an entire generation. To children of Israel, 40 years. Yet, the prophet said, his kindness is everlasting. God is never tired of persuading men to believe. I wish I can go on and on because of our time. I wish I could go on. But James 1:18 says we are born like that. See, I'm born like that. This is my nature. This is my gospel. This is my conduct. This is my faith. This is what I believe. This is our family. It is our nature. Hallelujah. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you. This is about us. We're just like him. Pray in the Holy Ghost. We reflect our Father.